When singer-songwriter Laura Story's husband, Martin, experienced a traumatic brain tumor more than a decade ago, things got very challenging on a practical level.
And it's been a challenge also with our faith, is trying to understand how a good God who loves us and has a good plan for our lives, why he would allow such hardship and why he wouldn't answer our prayers necessarily the way, you know, we've been praying for complete healing for Martin for 13 years now and have not seen that yet. We still believe God's capable of it, but we're learning what it looks like to trust his timing, to trust his plan above our own. And just because he's not working the way that we think that he should, it doesn't mean that he's not at work in ways that are best for us and that bring him the most glory.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. We'll hear from Laura Story today about how she learned that sometimes blessings come from raindrops. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. This is a little different for us today because we have a live studio audience joining us.
Wow.
That's a good audience.
That is.
You haven't done one of these recordings with an audience, right?
No, I'm sort of liking this. I think we should do this every day.
What do you think? Could you join us in the studio every day?
Here's the reason why we brought a live studio audience in, because we have a very special guest joining us. She is a Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, and the former bass player for Silas Bald. Would you welcome Laura Story?
There you go.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
You didn't know he was going to pull out the bass player.
No, I did not. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
We should also say you're responsible pretty much single-handedly for launching Chris Tomlin's career, right?
I don't know if you can say single-handedly.
That may
give me a little more credit than I deserve.
You wrote a song. What was it? 2000 and...
I was back when I was in college, and so it was 2000-something. And, Chris found my song Indescribable and recorded it, and it was his first radio single.
So we got a keyboard. Would you play and lead us in
Sure.
Indescribable? Okay, let's do that.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your mind. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every reach is unique and a song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them. All powerful, untamable, awestruck.
incomparable, incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God.
So, Laura, I have sung that song so many times. And you wrote that when you're 20, what?
Probably 22, 23, I think.
And how does a 22, 23-year-old come up with that? What happened? Tell us the experience.
Well, as a songwriter, one of the myths about songwriters is that we write about truths that we've mastered and now we'd like to impart them to the general public. And that's just not it at all. I feel like for me, any song I've written, it's truths that God's beginning to teach me that he knows it's going to take me singing it over and over and over again for it to finally sink in. And Indescribable, I really was just driving down the interstate near Asheville, North Carolina one day, and just beautiful sunset, and it was just this gorgeous landscape I was looking at, and I was reminded of you know, in the Psalms where David says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and just was really awestruck by the beauty. And at the time, my car stereo, it was broken, and I was, you know, this broke college kid, so I didn't have any money to fix it. So I had been, quite often, you know, if I wanted to hear music, it was going to be my own voice in my car. And I remember just going to sing because my heart was so full, and at first, nothing came out. And there were no words to describe the beauty I was experiencing right there. And it was this just reminder to me of the fact that he truly is indescribable. He's an indescribable God.
You eventually got to Job 38 as you were writing the song and looked at God's interaction with Job, where he says, wait a sec, who do you think you are? And describes his own attributes and kind of has Job put his hand over his mouth and say, I knew you before, but now I really know you.
Yeah. And really, the point of the song is the greatness of God and just the grandeur of who he is. But at the very end, it's this kind of wondering on the fact that he sees the depths of our hearts and he loves us. Yeah. This God of the universe who created everything, that he still desires to have an intimate relationship with me and you, and knowing who we are, knowing our imperfections, and sent Jesus so that he could have a relationship with us.
Did you think, I think I just wrote a hit song?
No. I've never, ever thought that in my life.
I mean, all these years I've given Tomlin credit.
Yeah.
And you thought he wrote it?
I didn't know. Yeah. I mean, I heard him sing it. I've seen him in concert, and you wrote it.
So, this is kind of crazy, but so did the words come out with the same tune? Or did the words come first, or did you say you started singing?
She is asking this, by the way, because I write all these songs, and they're terrible, and she wants to know how it's done, right?
I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, honestly, it all just kind of came out together. The problem was there were so many five-syllable words. I actually had to narrow it down. Like, you know, ineffable, inconceivable. Like, you know, I remember thinking, no, those aren't very good.
If you'd have put inconceivable, everybody would have
been
inconceivable.
I know. No one would have taken it seriously.
As I've talked to people about you and known you.
Oh, no.
I've just found myself telling people, Laura Story's one of those people who has faced an unusual amount of adversity in her life and reflects joy every time I see her. And I just want to know how you do that.
Well, Bob, thank you. Man, that's overwhelming. And we've known each other for
a while.
Quite a while now. And the adversity that Bob refers to, so I've been married to my husband, Martin, for 15 years now, and within the first 2 years of our marriage, Martin was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And that was, you know, something you don't experience, especially early on in your marriage. And what, you know, the plan we had for our life, you know, the plan that we had so graciously
planned for God?
Yeah, we had drafted it up. We just needed him to sign off on it. Very quickly, we realized that this was not the plan. This is not what our lives were going to look like. And Martin, you know, we have a wonderful life, four fantastic kids, but Martin still lives with a disability. He lives with a vision deficit and a memory deficit. And it's a challenge to us just in daily living. He faces a lot of challenges. And it's been a challenge also with our faith, is trying to understand how a good and a God who loves us and has a good plan for our lives, how why he would allow such hardship, and why he wouldn't answer our prayers necessarily the way, you know, we've been praying for complete healing for Martin for 13 years now and have not seen that yet. We still believe God's capable of it, but we're learning what it looks like to trust his timing, to trust his plan above our own. And just because he's not working the way that we think that he should, it doesn't mean that he's not at work in ways that are best for us and that bring him the most glory.
Did you ever go through a time that you struggled with that?
With
what God was doing? Like, God, what
You're
are you...
You're saying that in the past tense? Oh, man, we're always struggling with that on some level. Mm. And one of the neat things about the scriptures is that they actually give space for that. Like, I love the Psalms because it reminds us that as believers, we don't have to always have this tidy, put-together faith. You see a guy like David, one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 13, where he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long are you going to hide from me?" And I was so comforted to see that not just that David said that as a man after God's own heart, but that God included it. Like, however that worked with him compiling, you know, this God-breathed scripture together, that he includes a guy who shows doubt, that is honest about feeling forsaken. But what I love about David is he ends with this volitional decision that I will trust in your loving kindness, my heart will rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing to you because you've dealt bountifully with me. Mm. And he's saying that I've looked back on your track record of faithfulness in my life. And even though I don't understand what you're doing right now, I believe that you're a good God, and I'm going to continue to praise you.
And think about this. That's not just a song David wrote out of his own personal experience, but it's in the hymn book of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
So they say, everybody, get out your hymn book and let's all sing.
About David's bad day.
Which is our bad day, which is all of us have gone through. And the invitation God gives us to lament is part of God acknowledging, I know you're frail, I know you're feeble, and in the process of being honest about what you're going through, you're going to find strength and even joy. You've been able to find joy in your circumstances, even when it's been hard.
Yeah, Laura, I mean, as I watch and get to know you a little bit, I don't know you as long as Bob, but that's what I see. Not just what you just described, which is great, a faithfulness through the hard times. You've got like this giddy, indescribable, uncontainable joy. Yeah. Seriously.
We talked about it actually on the way on our drive in about that with you.
Is that, I mean, it isn't just I'm remaining faithful through, because we've all seen that, but I've...
And it's not faith.
Where's this joy come from?
Well, you know, I mentioned that even though God's not fixing the thing that I think he should the way that I think he should, I have two options. I can just be frustrated about that the rest of my life because he's not doing it my way, because he's not doing it the way that I envisioned, because he's not meeting my expectations. Because really, that's what a lot of our, you know, resentment and our lack of contentment is based on. Or I can look and see that he truly is at work. I mean, we have four, I was about to say three. We have three amazing kids, and then the other one. I'm just kidding.
We all understand that, too.
We know what you mean.
But we have these four amazing kids. We have a great church. We have great family who has walked with us through all of this. And in a lot of ways, we've seen God's kindness and mercy to us in ways that we never would have had we not walked through this kind of trial. And so there, you know, do I wake up every morning like doing cartwheels over how my life's turned out? No, but for the most part, I do have a lot of joy. God has blessed our family so richly. And I also, not to sound cheesy, but our joy, it has to be based in on the person of Jesus. If our joy is contingent on our circumstances, then our life is just going to be...
We're all doomed.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. It's just going to be like a wave where we're happy one day, we're sad the next. You know, and I see people that live that way as believers, and I just want to remind them, pointing them back to the songs, if we put our faith in God, because that's what's stable. Our circumstances will never be stable, and that's actually a good thing, because it's God stripping those things away so that he can show us the faulty foundations that we have in our lives.
Your plan that you mapped out,
yes,
was a plan that included wife and stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Not primary breadwinner for the family.
I'm laughing now because I pulled up this morning to your studio with all of my kids in tow in this big old van, and it's this...
She is kind of a stay-at-home mom. They just stay with her wherever she goes.
Her home has wheels.
Yeah, the way that we do life is so different than what I imagine. I mean, because the stay-at-home mom thing, that's how I was raised, and I had a wonderful childhood and upbringing. I just couldn't picture it anything different than that, man. So we travel with the kids, and Martin's with us a lot of the time, but it's always the kids with me, and it's such an adventure, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, I say I wouldn't trade it for anything. I did. So we're still getting the potty training thing, like the overnight potty training thing. So we're, you know, traveling from hotel to hotel, and quite often, like this morning, I wake up in a nice warm bed, but not in the way that you would want to. So, yeah, that's...
Do you leave a note for the maid? Say, sorry.
It wasn't me?
Yeah, people think about us. Recording artists, our lives are so glamorous. I wake up and pee. That's glamour right here.
You can
edit all of this out.
Or not.
When
you're with the kids, is Martin able to take care of himself?
So he has gotten so well at managing his medication. For a while, he was with me 24/7. And we love each other, but that is still a lot of time to be with each other.
You need to write a song about that.
I do a ton of women's events, so... Probably 7 years into him coming to more women's events than any man should ever have to endure.
That would be one.
Yeah, I remember.
Am I right?
Oh, you guys don't know what you're missing.
I know. I think he realized that all of his buddies were like at home watching football on Saturdays. He had this epiphany once and thought, hey, I think I might start staying. But in all honesty... So we're 13 years out. The first, I don't know, 5 years, because of his health complications, it really was him learning to, because of his memory deficit, learning to do all of his medications himself, literally just to keep himself alive. His rehab was just took so much longer than what we expected. And then, so the past probably 5 years, he has been getting back into working a job. And that's been a challenge. And about 6 months ago, he started a job that he loves. And he's working at our church coffee shop. And it's hard for me to even talk about it without crying because I love my church so much. And it's so neat to see that after 12 years of praying for Martin to be able, because, you know, as a man, he wants to work. He wants to contribute to the household income and all of that. And seeing him set that aside... for it, you know, really surrender that, and then to see the Lord kind of bless him with it in God's timing.
Were there days or years you thought, I'll never see this day?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't know whether he'd be able to. It's hard to explain with a memory deficit. It's also a time conception deficit. There's so many different aspects. Basically, what Martin has is a brain injury, and so there's a lot of things that act like learning disabilities, and there's some things that he can try with therapy to develop, and then some things just that aren't there. Like his short-term memory just isn't there, and so it takes him 10 to 20 times, which you can see how even the most basic tasks require some sort of memory and time conception. It's been amazing at this coffee shop. So it's at our church. My oldest, Josie, she was in kindergarten this past year, and so she goes to school there, and she comes through there with her friends and goes, "That's my dad."
That's so sweet.
Never. Let's just talk about something else.
Wait. I want to talk about this a little bit too.
Oh, gracious.
So, as you got married,
she's gonna die.
As a wife and a woman, we have dreams of what our marriage will be like, of how our husband will treat us, and some of those are not, you know, we have expectations. So for you, some women would walk away thinking, "I can't do this." Well, tell me about your friendship, your relationship, the struggle that has been, and the joys.
Yes, and there's never been a point where Martin and I have said, like, that we don't want to be married to each other. But there have been times that we've said, "This is so hard, we don't know how to do it." Mm. And, I mean, I don't even know how deep to go here.
Go deep.
Okay, so about 5 years in, one of the things we realized is that we had been working so hard to keep him alive.
Yeah.
And we got to a place where we were functioning well logistically, but our marriage just was terrible. And we also didn't know how to talk about it, because once you have someone that go through a life-threatening illness and then they're alive, it's like, oh, that's the win. And so it felt like we should just be grateful that he's alive. But still, there were so many things that were different about our relationship, and we didn't know how to talk to people about it. And fortunately, at our church, there were a couple of pastors that, specifically a pastor named Bill, and then another woman who was the wife of another pastor named Sherry. And Bill and Sherry, they kind of took that deep dive with us and told us, "We are with you for the long haul." Because when your marriage issues and your life issues seem so chronic, you know, Martin's disability, it's long term. And finding people that said, "Hey, we will walk this journey with you long term." I'll tell you one more thing that's been the biggest revelation for us. If you were to ask Martin and I, "What is the biggest problem in your marriage?" We would right off the bat, 5 years ago, we would have right off the bat told you it is Martin's disability. But what we've realized, that the biggest problem in our marriage is that we're sinners. The biggest problem in our marriage is our sin. And that's the same thing. I get to talk to women now that they'd say, the biggest problem in our marriage is that my husband doesn't make enough money, or this child that we're struggling with right now. And the truth is that, you know, with Martin's disability, it was going to either be a means of tension and frustration. And that's sin right there, when I choose to respond in frustration and irritation. Because really what I'm saying is, you're not meeting my expectations.
Yes.
This isn't going the way that I wanted. Or I can choose to see this disability as a means of grace, where He has slowed us down so much because of this disability, and that's a good thing.
And we all have disabilities.
Absolutely. And it's been a means for us showing kindness to each other and patience to each other that I think we probably would not have had that opportunity had we not had the disability in our lives.
I remember on the day I got married, before I walked out, just thinking to myself, "What if she changes?"
Yeah.
And I.
What if?
I'm thinking about that, and it's like I heard the Lord say, "She's going to."
Yeah.
And so are you. And I'm thinking, well, I'm about to pledge myself to this person, but what if I don't like the one she is 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
How do we adjust to that? You know that even deeper than I do, because the Martin you're married to is not the guy you stood at the altar with.
Well, and ultimately, it's not, you know, when you get married to someone, it's not that you trust that person, even though there is that level of trust, but it really is you're trusting God.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I came back to the Lord said she is going to change. And I said, "How do I do this?" And he was like, "By faith."
Yeah.
"You trust me, and I'm with you.
Keep your eyes on
and
me."
Yeah, and yet it's so hard to do, because when you're standing there, I just did a wedding last week, and I'm looking at this couple, and I know what they're thinking. Same thing we thought. He's going to fulfill me. She's going to fulfill me.
Yeah.
Even though we know he's going to fulfill us, but it's so hard to not do this. But you're so right. We're sinners. We married a sinner.
Well, the truth is your spouse, Kali, they will probably be the greatest agent of sanctification in your life.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a
if not them,
mirror
kids.
Right there to your sin. Yeah. And if they're not, then it's your kids. And there's nobody that shows you how selfish you are, you know, more than your kids. Like, no, this is my time. Get out of here. You know.
Did you think... No, of course you didn't. You couldn't have thought in the midst of dealing with Martin's adversity. I know that songwriters often find their greatest inspiration in the midst of their deepest pain, but mm-hmm. you couldn't realize there's a Grammy Award in the midst of this circumstance, right?
Well, it's interesting that how, you know, God's timing, because that's something that I've had to learn to, you know, release my timetable and follow his. One of the things that happened to us within 48 hours of Martin being diagnosed with his brain tumor, I was offered a record deal, which was just...
Really?
Yeah, we had been going along just fine for however long, and I had submitted some songs, and no one seemed to like them, and then all of a sudden this one label called, and it was... So it's this thing that I had been praying for and really hoping for, and then all of a sudden Martin gets this diagnosis. So I immediately had to say to them, you know, thank you, but, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but no, I'm not able to do this. I really need to focus on my husband's health right now. So they came back probably 3 months later, and then 6 months later, and then 9 months later. And finally, about a year later, they came back, and I was kind of irritated. I remember saying to them, we are more broken than we've ever been. And I'm also this worship leader at my church, and we're walking through such a hard time, and it was really tough getting up there and singing the, you know, How Great Is Our God songs when my life was falling apart. But I remember my wonderful record label saying, Laura, those are the songs we want you to write. We want you to write songs not about how to worship God and praise Him when everything's going well, but how do you keep worshiping Him and following Him and pledging your life to Him when it's falling apart? And I think that was, it was kind of an epiphany to me, and I thought, well, look, I'll try it.
Give that a whirl.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. And it was amazing not just to see that it was part of my, you know, processing what we were walking through was writing songs, but the more people that would hear those songs, they'd say, yeah, that's where we are. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize that so many people are living in that...
pain.
Yeah, and in the midst of the trial rather than on that other side. And maybe even that faith, that's actually where faith happens. Mm. That's where praise needs to happen, not on the other side when we see... this wonderful ending. I think I grew up thinking of giving testimony to God as like a Christian Saved by the Bell episode where like, there's this problem and then God intervenes and everything's great now. And at the end we can sing some fun song for the finale. You know, and
in 30 minutes.
Yes, yeah. And all of it resolves in 30 minutes. And I think that's kind of what I thought about worship. That's what I thought about praise. And that's what I thought about giving testimony to God's goodness. But the truth is no, it happens in the midst of it. It's in the midst of that trial. And if my faith requires the tidy bow or requires that ending, then I'm not quite sure if that's faith. Faith is praising Him when we don't see the ending, when we don't understand what He's up to.
And obviously your song that Bob's referring to reminds all of us, as soon as we hear that chorus, we're like, yeah, you're right.
So you guys want to hear the song Blessings from Laura Story?
Pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, and we pray for your mighty
our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life, all your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not if my greatest disappointments or the achings of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise?
How often do you find yourself reminding yourself of that?
Again, God, he knew what I needed to sing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And there are still nights that I sing that song, and I have to ask for grace from the audience, because I just sit there and weep. Mm-hmm. It's a work that God is still doing in my life, very much so.
I remember the first time I heard that song, I was driving on M59, and I remember turning it up as I started really listening to the words and just weeping the whole time, just thinking every single person relates to this song because you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
But we still look to the Father. Yeah. And music does something. It heals our soul. It releases our soul. It helps put our eyes on him. So thank you for writing that for all of us when you were in the midst of the pain and not on the other side of it.
Well, and I think as hard as it was to share a song that was so intimate, it was like it came straight out of my diary onto the radio, which is kind of an awkward thing. But as hard as it was to put it out there and share it, part of our healing has been seeing other people's response to it. Because I still get so many emails and so many messages and people coming up to me at events telling me about how God used that song. And every time it reminds me of God's goodness. I don't think people always think about it that way. I think they think about, I wrote this song that really ministered to them in their hard time. But when they respond to me, they're constantly reminding me of God's goodness. And it challenges me to continue to remember that in my own life.
Well, we've been listening to a portion of a conversation we had with singer-songwriter Laura Story, with our staff listening in on that conversation. And there is something about biblical truth expressed in music that I think takes us to a different place and helps us think differently about God's word.
I think you're exactly right, Bob. It goes down to the very soul. And it brings out emotion, healing. It really goes to the very center of our being.
It's almost like there's a string, almost like a guitar string between our brain and our heart. I'm sort of kidding, but it's like music connects those. You know, I've often thought as a pastor and a preacher that you can preach a message and there's the power of the word, which is powerful.
Right.
But then when you add music, it seems to go deeper.
Yeah.
And man, being with Laura was such a, I mean, I know that's the name of her song. I was going to say blessing, you know, but it was because she was so real and authentic. But then when she sang, it's like you got a view into her soul and it connected into our soul.
Well, we're going to hear part two of our conversation with Laura tomorrow. But I want to encourage our listeners to get a copy of the book that she's written called I Give Up, The Secret Joy of a Surrendered Life. And Laura talks very candidly in this book, just as she did in the interview, about the challenges that she and her husband Martin have faced, his brain tumor, infertility, a child born with special needs, and recognizing that control is an illusion. We've got to surrender to God, who has a plan for what's going on in our lives. Again, the title of the book is I Give Up, The Secret Joy of a Surrendered Life. You can go online at familylifetoday.com to order a copy of the book, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, our website, familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, we recognize here at Family Life that the challenges most of us face in trying to live out our faith, trying to walk faithfully with Jesus, those challenges often emerge in the context of our marriages and our families. That's the place where it's often hardest for us to live a surrendered life, the kind of life that Laura's been talking about. At Family Life, our goal is to effectively develop godly marriages and families to help you as you go through the difficult times in your marriage and in your family, to help you know how to respond, to point you back to Scripture as your source and your authority for how you live your Christian life. And we want to say thank you to those of you who believe in the mission of Family Life and who have expressed your belief by helping support the work we do. We're listener supported. We depend on your financial support for this program to continue on this station. You make all that we do here at Family Life possible. If you can help with a donation today, we'd love to say thank you by sending you a tool you can use during the Christmas season to help keep you and your kids thinking in the right direction as the holiday approaches. It's a set of 12 ornaments that are kid-friendly ornaments. We call this the 12 Names of Christmas. Each ornament reflects a different title or a different name for Jesus. And as you hang each of these on your Christmas tree, maybe do one a day for 12 days leading up to Christmas, you have an opportunity as a family to refocus on what the holiday is all about. Again, the 12 Names of Christmas is our thank you gift to you when you make a donation today. You can do that online at familylifetoday.com or call to donate at 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we appreciate your partnership with us here in the Ministry of Family Life. And we hope you can join us back again tomorrow. We'll hear part two of our conversation with singer-songwriter Laura Story and hear about giving up. In fact, she's going to sing the song she wrote called I Give Up tomorrow, so I hope you can be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.